I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone! Welcome to the Season 10, Episode 2 recap here at AfterBuzz TV of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I am not here by myself today, because of course I need people to chat this with, and I'm here with my co-host, which I'm super excited. Ethan Paisley is with us, huge fan of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and everything Bravo related as well. And I'd like to remind everyone that Lisa Rinna follows him. Amazing, right?
Here you go.
And with us too, we have Jane Johnson. Jane is my go-to girl for all the things Vanderpump Rules. She also does Vanderpump Rules News Daily, as well as myself, Bravo News Daily. So we're twinsies there. And she is all into Bravo as well. My name is Maite Carrillo, and I'm obsessed with Bravo and everything that has to do with it, including tonight's episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which gave a lot of good stuff. In terms of a second episode, it's slowly but surely catching more gas, and it's setting things up to flame, which is a really, really good thing in terms of everything that's going on. Later on, we have our special segment, which is really, really great. I know Ethan's been prepping for that for some time, so I'm excited. I know Jane is too.
I love our special segment. Right? How many F's do you give?
Hey!
How many F's do you guys give? We'll have to see.
We'll have to wait and see. We also have news coming up later on in the show. But now let's start chatting about last night's episode, because it gave, like I said, I think it pretty much delivered, especially when it comes to Erica, which I know, Ethan, you have stuff to say about that. But let's start off talking about Doreed and PK. Now, last season, their finances were something that I feel like fans really wanted to dig in and talk about, as it was in the tabloids everywhere. And so now we're actually getting to see more about it. They've been able to settle both of their lawsuits. They sold their old house. Now they've been able to move into this $6 million house. And it looks like the house is under Dorit's name and not PK. And we had a little bit more. Yes, which, yep. It's like, how? And I love the fact that the producers were the ones that asked the question, right? Which makes it seem like the producers are really asking the nitty gritty and having kind of like a little bit of an after show for themselves. But I don't know. I'd love to know your thoughts. Jane, what did you think about this whole scenario with PK and Dorit chatting about their finances?
You know what? I gotta be the first to admit, I am not the financial go-to expert in the panel, I'm sure of that. So I don't feel like I have much room to judge. However, it is very intriguing to me, and I am very invested in this storyline where people go as far to say that they are con artists. It is very interesting to me that they are actually taking this to the show now, because I know for a while they really were evading this whole question. So I just am very pleased with the series so far this season, in a lot of our celebs opening up more than they have in the past about certain things. And the fact that the producers are willing to go there. I was interested about the fact that Dorit and PK had to do the interview together and be each other's backup about that. But I'm just wondering, again, because I don't know, if you don't have any money, then how do you afford a $6.5 million house in Encino? How, I know it's in Dorit's name, but like, if you literally have nothing except for a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills salary, is that enough to cover a $6.5 million house? I don't know.
Well,
Ethan, I want to know what you think.
I'll put in my two cents on this whole scenario. So
yes,
I agree with you, Jane. I'm loving how our cast members are really opening up this season and coming to terms with the truth. However, I did not feel that with Dorit and PK in this particular segment of the episode. I feel like something really fishy is going on. And to answer your question about can they afford this property on a Real Housewives salary, they couldn't have afforded to buy this place. They had to have been renting during the filming of this episode. Had to have been. I don't think this is their final home they're settling
on. But she went on Watch What Happens Live and gave a little tour. So at least if they're renting, they're renting for like a year.
Right.
So well, I could be down for that theory. That makes sense. And I do think they were being fishy and evading things. But at the same time, they're still talking about it. They're not pretending like these lawsuits don't exist. So I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think, though, that there's something they're not telling us. And I think the truth always reveals itself. I think in a trailer, Lisa Rinna said something like that. And I'll be surprised to see how this unfolds towards the end of the season, because it does seem to keep coming up.
And I'm sure everyone in the comments will agree with you on that.
Yeah.
That I'm sure of. What do you think, Maite?
Yeah, I think their house is definitely, I didn't think about that theory of it probably being rented out. I thought like they had purchased the house, but it's crazy how I think one of the producers was the one to ask the question during the confessional, like, PK, where did you start? And he had like, where did you start in terms of your career? And he had to go all the way back to, you know, when he was living back in the UK and doing what he was doing. And it looked like they were both very stiff and nervous and kind of calculated, like they had rehearsed that speech over and over again. I don't know if it was just me, but it kind of made me feel a little uncomfortable at the same time that they were actually talking about it. And I think it was more intriguing because they weren't talking about it and people were just making a little bit of speculation. But now having both of them sit next to each other, it just seemed really calculated to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think calculated, and they must be living on credit or something if they're having to, you know, defend themselves this much. And that house, what was like 8 bedrooms, like 5 bathrooms? It was enormous. You know, I mean, that's like a $10,000 to $20,000 a month rental, if not more. So I don't know. We'll have to see how things fizzle out.
Yeah, totally. It was really interesting to see that whole section, and for them to start off right in the bat in the very beginning of the episode chatting about their finances. It's kind of like to push it out of the way. And they were also brought up during Sutton's launch party, as like a reporter was asking the same question about like their finances and like what's been going on. So I'm sure she's pretty much fed up with the whole conversation about that. Hopefully she brings more tea this whole, you know, for this next season, so we have something else to talk about, because right now, there's really not much to talk about with her except for that. So we just, you know, we need a little bit more as far as like her storyline. So let's jump into our second topic, right? Let's chat a little bit about Erica and Garcelle's friendship. Now, we're seeing this friendship, you know, brand new. They're both getting to know each other. And so far, they have chemistry with one another. And there's certain things I feel that Erica really likes about Garcelle. And I feel like Erica's been the one to kind of make that approach and be more open to Garcelle than anybody else. I've never seen Erica be this open and vulnerable with everyone. And I don't know if maybe the producers were like, you have to turn it up a notch and you have to be more, you know, more approachable, and she's more showing more emotions. But, and we saw that with the scene between both of them. Do we, and Ethan, I need to ask you this question. Like, do you think that they have a genuine friendship with one another, or is this kind of just for the sake of filming together?
Absolutely. I think they have a genuine friendship together. You know, I mentioned on the first episode that they have so many things in common, which I think is what has really genuinely brought them together. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they opened up about having kids pretty much 1 year apart, 27 and 28, and Garcelle's son now having a child. And I thought their reaction, Erica's reaction to that, was very authentic. And I have to disagree in the way that I feel like Erica's is like a cold presence. Like, everybody's always talking about how she's so closed off and intimidating. Yeah. I've always felt, and maybe that's because I'm one of her, you know, gay followers that will never give up on her. But I've always felt like this warmness to Erica, like this, you know, be yourself and you'll be accepted. And she's always seemed to be very accepting, I think, of people who are comfortable in their own skin. And Garcelle is that to me. So I think they're real friends. They're G's with each other.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like their energies just completely gravitated towards each other. And it probably does have something to do with the fact that Erica Jayne knows what it's like to be added into an already existing franchise and kind of connects with her in that way. But also just, like I said, their energy is so strong and empowering that they really just vibe. And I think that they were really able to open up to each other on that level. And I love at lunch when Garcelle just went straight for the hard hitting questions and went right into how Erica Jayne's husband, like, he's 80, how's the sex? And Erica Jayne had no problem opening up about everything, just being like, it's okay. And then ultimately crying. And we got to see Erica Jayne cry twice this episode alone, which is, I think that when people find her to have an exterior, it's because we don't necessarily get to see the tears shed. But I do agree with you, Ethan, that she does have a warm presence in that she's very empowering and she makes us feel comforted in knowing that, like, she's always going to stand up for herself. And so, yeah, I think that we just hadn't seen that side of her. And maybe that's why some people feel like she's a little bit hard on the outside, but she's a softie on the inside. She just doesn't take any crap from anyone.
Mm-hmm. I think last season she gave a good background as far as like why she is the way that she is. And I hope that she doesn't lose that touch because I've never seen her cry before. So I think for me, it was a little bit of a shocker. And I'm just like, no, don't lose this exterior side that you have. Like, I want to continue to see you being like that badass that you are, which, I mean, of course it still makes her a badass because she shows her emotion, but it was something very different, which at the same time, it is a good thing. So I really hope that their friendship is genuine because it does look that way, but sometimes eyes can be so deceiving and then they turn against one another and then the real nastiness comes out. So really, I think Garcelle has a lot of power and a lot of grit, and I do think she's more herself. She did talk about her marriage, which it's just, she opened up a lot more. What did you guys think about her opening up about her marriage? And for me, it was a shocker to find out that her husband had been having this whole different life, this whole family, or an affair for 5 years mm-hmm. of their marriage. Like, how, like, Jayne, what did you get from that?
That was a total moment where you could just feel everyone watching in that moment, like, everyone's jaw dropped. You know, like, I sat in front of my TV just like, 5 years? Yeah. That's something extra. That's like college and a certificate program or grad school or what, you know, that's a lot of time to be having a whole nother relationship long distance in Chicago and love that person behind the scenes when you have a family, a loving wife who is hotter than you, who's making her own money, who's given you, you know, beautiful offspring. I just was like so shook that even happened. And someone, like, Twitter was obviously exploding because they were so proud of the way that Garcelle handled it. Cause they're like, yes, boss bitch. I mean, it was, you guys read like that email. It was so insane and hilarious of like, what do so-and-so have in common? And she's like, my ex, like, husband cheated on me for 5 years, and the detail that she went into and the words that she used were so funny. I was like, she made some entertainment out of a horribly tragic situation, and that's why she's gonna be a great housewife.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Garcelle fits into the category of like Lisa Rinna, Erica Jayne for me. I all feel like they have no problems being open. And I think that comes from the fact that they're all performers. Like, I think to be an actor or like a singer, you really have to be in touch with that emotional core. And they always seem to bring that, all being performers as well as housewives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think you both are hit it right on point. I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. And I do think that, you know, Garcelle, this is just the very beginning of her. I think she's a great addition as a housewife. I love watching her. I love how real she keeps it. And her, like, just getting to know her so much better. It's been great. It hasn't made me think about Lisa Vanderpump, that's for sure. Totally different. That's something that I expected when I was starting to watch this season. Let's talk a little bit about Denise, because she took part a lot in this episode, and a lot of it had to do with her having like her surgery. She had 5 hernias, which was just, I was like, wait, what? 5? Here I was thinking it was 1.
I thought it was bad last episode when she said she wouldn't call a lawyer. Then when she said she wouldn't go to a doctor after she hears about her first hernia, I'm like, well, here we are, 5 hernias later. You know, I was cringing, truly. Jane, what did you think?
You guys, honestly, it makes me feel like a total mess, because in some ways I like identify with it. You know what I mean? I'm like, I get it. She didn't want to deal. She has stuff going on. But a year when you're in tragic pain, like that, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. On a personal level, like my dad didn't let us go to the doctor when we were younger, and that's like bizarro. So who knows? Maybe she had a scenario like that. I don't know. But just to let something go like uncared for a year, how did she walk down the runway like that in New York with 4 or 5 hernias? I think it was 4, but it's like, what's another hernia? They might've found another. I have no idea.
It was 5. Like,
5?
Yes.
And then when Aaron, her husband, is like, talk, or like what, she mentions his dick size. I'm like, why are you even thinking about that after getting like this really intense surgery done and you're like on meds? It's off a little bit.
I'm so curious why she wants us to know so badly that his dick is huge, because like I feel like he's so hot, he's caring for her, he's an incredible man. Like I watch and I'm just like salivating at the mouth. Why does she want everybody to know how big his dick is?
Maybe
like protect your man, you know what I mean? Women are thirsty, they're gonna come running after him, like don't let us know.
Or maybe, Marte, I know you said maybe it is. I'm like, well, maybe it isn't.
Maybe it isn't.
You have to be like the most secure in your relationship if it is indeed big and you're announcing it to millions of people.
I don't know.
I agree, though.
Yeah.
Or he's got a micro.
That's why. Like, she keeps re-repeating herself. Like, okay, we saw this. We heard this already. Why? It was just so out of place.
Yeah.
She brought up her whole situation with Charlie Sheen again, and that she really is going to go to court and she's going to get things done. And that whole situation got brought to light. But her daughters are old enough to know what's going on. So it just, you know, the fact that she brought that up too, and she's like, they really don't know much about her dad, or like, you know, certain things about her past. I'm like, they're old enough, I think, now to kind of figure it out, go online and read all of these articles that were out there during the time. But they did get a new house together. What did you guys think about their new house? Because now they're not living in Malibu. They're somewhere different. And I mean, to me, it kind of looks the same thing. Were you guys liking the house? Is it something that was worth it?
They're renting it, right?
Yeah,
I thought it was a rental, because like that's the only way I'm okay with it. Just to go from what they had to now this other house that is not on the beach, like my heart broke a little bit, but it felt temporary to me. So I was like, I'm gonna let it slide. But like, it was so sad to see them leave Malibu. So I think it's just in the aftermath of the fires, correct?
Right.
That they're renting. Okay.
I thought it was more aesthetically pleasing than Dorit's house.
Oh.
That she's.
I thought you were going to say then, like, the wide open Pacific Ocean.
No. I don't get me wrong. I loved their first house. It is a little bit of a step down, but I just now seeing all these houses get, you know, moved into in this episode, like,
I thought
theirs came in before Dorit's.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not sure if we chatted about this in the last episode, but Encino is blowing up right now. Dorit is living there now, and Kyle Richard lives in Encino, and celebrities are like just all congregating there. They all live in the same neighborhood. Like Selena Gomez is there. 2 of the Kardashian exes are there. Like Encino is blowing up. So I think especially with Kyle having Mauricio like in the biz, they know that that's the hot spot now. And I feel like it's interesting to see a lot of them starting to live there. So maybe Dorit just got what she could for 6.5 mil to be in the new hotspot.
Maybe. But that's
I think it's a gorgeous house though.
Yeah. I didn't know that they were all moving to Encino. And I was wondering where Garcelle was moving to, because it kind of looked like a community, I don't know, kind of looked like condos, but they were all attached houses. And I'm like, where is she living? She has a ton of neighbors and it looked like a, I don't know. It just looked really weird, out of place. I thought she was living like somewhere in Palm Springs, or she left somewhere else because they were all starting from the ground up construction. So that was, I don't know. I have no
idea. What's in Encino though? Like, where's the buzz? Is that the reason they live there, is to get away from the craziness?
There's, I mean, after buzzers are in Encino, everybody's there. It's a hot spot. You know what I mean?
Are you in Encino? Is this what you're trying to tell us?
No, but Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner live in Encino now.
Oh, wow.
It's like all these pop stars, a lot of like Disney people, and then like, you know, pro sports players. I like can't even roll sports off my tongue. I'm like, I don't, sports, whatever. Well, sports are irrelevant right now.
Well,
don't hate me, listeners.
One person who has settled down in West Hollywood is Sutton, right? With she, we saw her launch party, and she has this. Oh, Ethan, I saw your face right now. And she has this new store, right? It's like a furniture lot. She has all of these. What is it? Is it kind of like an I don't want to say antique store, but like, what is it?
I Googled it on Google Maps when it came up, because I live in West Hollywood, and I was like, where is it? Nothing? Nothing even came up on Google Maps.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like not, I think it must have been a very temporary pop-up, because I like could not find anything on it.
It's a cover to pretend that she's doing something with her life.
Oh,
no, my no, God. But it does exist. I Googled it. I found it. It's kind of by Gracias Madre off of Santa Monica Boulevard between there and Melrose. It's like on a side street. And I think that the way they showed it, it seems kind of like hidden, you know. So yeah, it's on a side street in West Hollywood that is between Santa Monica and Melrose, but it's temporarily closed because of Corona, so maybe that's why it wasn't popping up readily.
I was just trying to figure it out, and I think they mentioned it somewhere of like what type of business she had, and I was just so focused on what was inside of her store. And I wasn't sure if it was a pop-up, but there was like this gown, this couture, the whole thing. I think her favorite word is couture, right? And she just talking about what she was wearing.
It looked like the Kids' Choice Awards, you know, with all the slime. Like all I remember seeing in her store was like this neon green slime color. I
remember seeing like one jewel encrusted dress.
That's
two chairs. It's supposed to be like a boutique with some outfits and some furniture, but it looked bare.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and can we talk about when the mayor of West Hollywood shows up and she's like, who are you? I mean, I was like my heart like sank. And then when she goes off on parking, and why is the parking such a hassle here?
Was
like
she on something or something? I don't, was she on something the entire time?
I think it's hilarious. Like if the mayor is going to show up at your event, wouldn't you know like that the mayor was going to give a speech? Like, who are you? And then, yeah, it was so funny because all of the housewives thought it was so weird that she started grilling him on the mic instead of just thanking people for coming out and thanking the mayor for giving a speech. Yeah. And then Rinna backs her up just to like keep with the character of Rinna and be like, well, if you got the mayor there, why not ask him about the real issues? It's like, I'm sure Sutton getting a parking ticket is not a real issue.
No.
She's got the money to pay it off.
Right. And I just find it so unattractive when she, you know, she's opened this store. So many people dream of opening a business and she just goes, oh, well, I don't even really need to make money. I'm just doing this for fun because I have enough money from my ex-husband. Like that to me as like an entrepreneur myself is just so offensive. You know, like that hit deep for me.
Oh, this is interesting. So last week you were saying, right? I mean, that you were so on board with Sutton, and Jane and I were like, no way. Like, we are so not on board with her. Now, do you have a change of heart? Is that what I'm hearing? Jane, do you hear this?
Maite is checking receipts today, Ethan. Don't let it get past her.
Hello, hey. What's going on? I do have to say, though, she did come off very privileged, and I cannot stand watching that on TV. It's just, I can't stand having a conversation with someone like that, and I can't stand watching TV. It's like a use of airtime. I can't deal. And it's such a turnoff, and I think that if she continues on this way, I'm already like upset that Teddy's part of the season, and then having somebody else be like, you know, this privileged and talking about how amazing they are, but they don't really need things. It's a turnoff.
It makes me feel like Sutton is playing a character of what she thinks a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills needs to be, but then it actually is her. So then that leads me to believe like, she is our villain, because there are some people, I was obviously checking the Twitter hashtag to see what people are thinking, because Maite even mentioned it last week that like people were going off on not liking Sutton yet, and definitely skewed towards people not liking her. But some people do like her, even though like I'm surprised during this time and this climate, people can actually like her. But it just leads me to believe like she has to be the villain, because I find myself being like, why is she here? Why is she here? But I'm like, I guess we need something to like hate.
Okay, I'm going to jump in there. I actually don't agree that she's the villain, because she's not a real part of the cast, right? Like, she never made the cut where she has a part in the theme song and she has like a confessional, like, she's not really part of this cast. So to me, she just seems like kind of a failed mission on behalf of Bravo.
I love how when you played it back for me like that, I'm like, that was so savage that I just called her a villain. I would say she's an antagonist. She's Cruella de Vil. She's selling dog coats in her Sutton boutique.
I think the villain is going to be Denise. I think that's how it's been framed to us, and that's what we're led to expect. And honestly, she's another character on the show presenting some problems for me.
When Denise's final look of last episode was the literal Grinch smirk, maybe she is the villain.
I don't know. I think the villain this season, I think it's going to be Teddy for some reason. I think I feel like that's gonna be it. She's been coming out a lot in the headlines, so I don't know. But it was interesting to see this whole scenario, right, with Sutton and her launch party. And I love the fact that they brought up, now that we're talking about Teddy, they brought up the whole situation, right, of Teddy's again all in retreat, and that looks like it's gonna stir up some drama for next episode. What did you guys think? Just don't give too much away, because I know they're going to dig in deeper for next episode. What did you guys think about the whole text that Teddy sent out in regards to her retreat?
I have to agree with her position in this situation, where she said bluntly, if this doesn't interest you, don't come. I couldn't agree more. When I invite friends out to do something and half of them don't want to be there, it just is a total drag and it sucks to deal with. So I think she was well-intended. It may have just not come off the brightest. Jane, what do you think?
I do agree with that it's great that she gave them an out, because as a friend, sometimes you do want an out to know that your friends still know that you support them without having to show up, because these people, for the most part, our parents, they have things going on, like they've got a lot of moving parts, they're coordinating their own businesses, so they going to Laguna for an overnight can be hard. But the way that she worded this was so bizarro, that like, why don't you just say what you actually think and mean, instead of making it so ambiguous and confusing based on her previous track record? Like, they know that she's going to be mad if they don't come. But then she's saying, I actually will be mad if you do come. So just I agreed with what Rinna was saying of like, what do you actually want? And she was like, I want them to come and then leave before dinner. And it's like, then say that. And I don't think she ever said that. So, but how funny was Garcelle's iconic moment when she got that text? She was like, yeah, nope, bye.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to go. I'm good. Yeah. I don't have to do that. Yeah, I agree. I think, I agree. And I think that she should have sent and been more direct in her message. And as in terms of like, I don't think she should have given them an opening and saying, well, you can stay and not stay. It's up to you. I think she should have been like, this is what I want. If you're down with that, you should come, and then just leave it at that, and then have zero expectations. If anything, she should know better than to have expectations for everyone to show up, leave before dinner, or stay the night, whatever it is that she wanted. So I think she should have been more direct. And then she made it worse when she was at Garcelle's opening and saying, well, you don't have to come if you don't want to come. It just gave so much attitude, and it wasn't very welcoming. And I know that these ladies, because they're part of the show, they try and make the effort of showing up, but sometimes if they just don't want to do it, they should also be straight up and say, I don't want to go, right? As opposed to being shady and saying in the confessional.
Don't they have to go though? Like, per rules of the show, like, isn't everybody like required to be? I don't know how reality shows work, but I assume that they're all obligated to go to this regardless because of cameras filming.
Mm-hmm. If I were Teddy and this was like a legit retreat that I was planning with my clients, I would not even invite them. But if it was something that I was doing for the show to get publicity for my business, I would make it all about them and have like extra people who are into it, you know, like pick a lane. But it seems like this is a legit event that she's throwing as part of her business, that she wants people to feel inspired, transformed, moves, and have an action plan afterwards. And I think these ladies in their minds have things figured out. They're sitting on money. They've got their own show. They don't really need an accountability coach. So don't invite them.
That's very true.
Great.
Well, great point. With that, let's jump into our first special segment. And Ethan, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, let's get started. So our special segment is called How Many F's Do I Give? Based on the Erika Jayne song, How Many F's Do I Give? All right, guys, we're going to walk through three moments on the show, and in the comments, as well as here, we're going to say how many F's we give. So 10 F's means you give a lot of F's, 5 F's means you give a moderate amount of F's, and 0 F's means you don't give an F, all right? So let's start with moment number one, Yacht Rock. How many F's do we give about Yacht Rock? I give 0 to negative.
Amen. I give negative. I don't even give a 0. I give negative to that. No.
I give 0 F's. Honestly, if I was sitting on money, I would give more F's. But you know what the truth is? I give a lot of F's because I Googled it and that's part of my news. Anyway, keep going.
Well, all right. Moment number two. How many F's do you guys give about Aaron's dick size? Because personally, I give 10 F's plus. I really want to know. I think he is a beautiful man.
I give 0. I really do. I think he's gorgeous how he is, and I don't need to know anything about his dick size. Like, I'm good to go. If I hear it once, great, I'm enticed. But I think the fact that she keeps on rubbing it in her face, I'm starting to give 0.
I give all the F's. In my sleep, when I'm dreaming, when I'm awake, I care. I want to know he's so hot and I'm going to put him on my vision board, you know, and draw out what I imagine it to be. So I'm so here for it. And again, I don't know why she's telling all of us, because it makes a woman wonder, you know, not that I'm a home wrecker, but some people are.
I couldn't agree more when you say in my sleep. That's where I'm at too.
Quarantine makes me feel some type of way.
Quarantine does make you feel a certain way. All right, our last moment. The opening of Sutton's store, I really could give less of an F. So like below 0 once again for me. Maite?
Same, I can give 0 about that. Yeah.
You guys, what is wrong with me? Because I give zero Fs, but you know, the second I'm back in LA and Corona's over, I'm going to go to that store and
my God.
Take Jane, footage.
Can we make a field trip out of this? I am there.
Yeah. It's like, I give zero Fs, but I'm still going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Investigate, take all the content, report back here.
Yeah, we could do that, and then we could go to Gracias Madre for some happy hour drinks and call it a day, right?
Yes.
I love it.
All right, now we're going to jump into our news with Jane.
Yay, very exciting. So our news this week, I don't know if it technically constitutes as news, but I did a deep Google search on Yacht Rock to make sure that it is indeed a thing, and it is. However, Yacht Rock kind of disappoints me because it is like, well, I shouldn't say disappoints me, but it's like 70s classic rock. It is soft rock. It's like Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers, and Kenny Loggins is technically what Yacht Rock is. And I don't know who wants to listen to that on a yacht. Every music video I've seen is rappers on a yacht with booties bouncing. Who's listening to Kenny? Kenny Loggins and calling it Yacht Rock. Sutton, I guess. But also, Kate Chastain from our very dear Below Deck apparently knows all about what Yacht Rock is. This is in her wheelhouse. So she, back in January of 2020, had serendipitously made a Yacht Rock playlist for iHeartRadio, which with all of her Yacht Rock hits. So if you want to know more about Yacht Rock, I would check out that playlist. Other than that, I would say it's pretty obsolete.
Again, I really give zero Fs about Yacht Rock, but thank you for the news update, Jane.
Well, okay, so in addition to that, Maria Menounos, our queen bee here at AfterBuzz, had Kyle Richards on her podcast, Better Together, and she got a lot of great tidbits. I watched the live stream. They've been live streaming every day with different guests, and it's been great to watch. So Kyle was on there, and she was sounding off on multiple different things, and as we discussed last week on Watch What Happens Live, Garcelle was giving a lot of shade about Kyle. And she said, like, she has the biggest ego. She's the least likely that she would want to quarantine with. All of these different ways of shading Kyle when she was responding to Andy. So Maria chatted with her, and it came out that Kyle would least want to quarantine with Garcelle after what Garcelle said about her in Watch What Happens Live.
Oh, good.
The juicy, juicy scoop.
How does that... Okay. But so are we going to see a conflict play out on...
So here's the thing. No, because what Kyle said with, at least not what I think, because what Kyle said with Maria was that there was no sign of shade throughout the entire season. And Kyle had no idea that there was beef until she saw until she saw Garcelle on Watch What Happens Live say those things about her. So she said, now knowing that, she's least likely to want to quarantine with her in a hypothetical situation because now they apparently have beef. And she said, it makes me wonder about a person when I think everything's fine, mano y mano, but behind the scenes and in interviews, you're saying a whole nother thing. How do I trust you? Now I know the kind of person that you are. Anyway, the direct quotes are in that podcast, but that's what Kyle was saying. And it was pretty nutso.
Yeah, that's some good tea. I didn't know any of that stuff. That's really good. I'm shocked. Now I can't wait for the reunion. I'm sure the reunion's going to bring.
Yeah, I think the reunion, they're going to go at it because, yeah, Kyle apparently didn't know they had issues.
Can Kyle defend herself from Garcelle seeing how she is? I don't think so. Especially, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I have to wait.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump really quickly into our predictions. I'm going to throw it. Jane, can you give a quick prediction?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so for predictions, I honestly, I'm beside myself. Can Ethan start? So much happened. I'm like, let me think.
Sure. When we have our field trip, my prediction is Sutton's store will no longer be there.
Oh, wow. That's
Ethan, that looked, is Savage.
But it looked so pop-up-y. Like, I don't think it has a long life.
You think that the temporarily closed means permanently closed?
Perhaps.
Okay, so the previews are escaping me right now. So if I'm incorrect, let me know. But I feel like some of the women are going to end up going to Teddy's thing, if not all. Sutton said she was going to go. So maybe what would be really cool to see is if Sutton actually goes and gets some more accountability in her life.
That's so good.
But, you know, I think that the Garcelle Erica Jane love is going to keep going. I'm wondering who truly will be the quote unquote villain. What do you think, Maitai? What's going to happen?
I don't know. I honestly think the villain's going to be Teddy. And I just have this feeling she's so emotional. And I did read in an article that she said that, you know, because she was pregnant, she couldn't drink alcohol, right? She couldn't drink alcohol. And so she was more aware of what was happening. And she has, I mean, she can surely mix something up in the middle of that.
How screwed up would it be if she is the villain and she's pregnant? Like, that's bad on Bravo. That's like, breaks my heart.
Yes!
Like, everyone's emotional when they're pregnant. Like, it's a really hard thing to go through. I don't know.
Right, but yeah. She's all types of emotions, and everyone, I feel like with every interview or with every housewife, BH housewife that Andy has on Watch What Happens Live, he's always asking the question, like, so who's the villain? Or I don't think he says the villain, but he's like, who gives the most trouble? And they all say Teddy. Like, she's just, you could see it in their face that they're pretty much annoyed. They're like, it's Teddy. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see for that one. But yeah, that's all for our show today. We chatted all about season 10, episode 2 of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And before we say our goodbyes, Ethan, do you want to let everybody know where they can find you on social media?
Sure. I'm at Ethan B. Paisley on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And I'm at Jane Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-E-N _ on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all the things. And you know I'm going to be commenting with you down below. Plus, I actually am starting to interview some of our favorite Bravo celebrities here with AfterBuzz TV and Quarantine with the Stars Bravo Celebrity Edition on Thursday. So check that out.
That's awesome. And then also, if you're watching us on YouTube, please make sure to give us a thumbs up. Leave your comments down below. Let us know your thoughts on tonight's episode. We love to keep the conversation going. As well, if you're listening to us on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. Leave us your review in the comments. We will definitely shout you out here. We love to keep the conversation going, like I just said. And we thank you all for tuning in. This is our week 2, and we can't wait to chat it up with you every single week going forward. And my name is Maite Carrillo. You can find me everywhere at This Is Maite. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We will see you here next week. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.